This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9 with me, Chris,
Gordon
and Phil.
Yeah. Oh, the terrible trio. We are three people.
Oh, yes. The triple trio.
Yeah, well, we're certainly not a trinity, so we are individuals.
Well, we're getting into numbers, are we?
Well, there you go.
We're going to discuss numbers in a little while. First of all, you're going to have to thank someone.
We're going to really have to thank Tim for the news, but also thanking James for keeping us all happy and bright and breezy with the morning music here on Joy. And we thank Lance for being on the front desk. One of our other presenters has come in to meet him, and they're going out for a spot of lunch.
That's very nice. Yes, and now Julia is at the desk.
She is at the desk.
Yeah, so you can phone 1300 Joy 949 if you want to chat to the jovial Julia.
Indeed,
and tell her wonderful things about us.
Well, we've already had a message from Peter saying that he's listening to us. Thank you very much, Peter. And, well, we think Nina might be listening to us, and hopefully Brad is as well. Thank you. You're all part of the Joy family that we're here for.
That's exactly right. We're here for the Joy family and everybody else that wants to listen to us, because we do have a lot of listeners that don't classify themselves as gay.
That's right.
We do have a lot of straight listeners. I know a lot of straight listeners that listen to us.
And some of them count the number of shows we've done.
Well,
one in particular.
I've counted how many. And today, according to my count, I ran out of fingers and thumbs and toes.
We're up to that number, aren't we?
We are up to show number 666.
The 666, the devil's number.
Can I point it? No, it's not the devil's number. My definition is that 666 is the natural number following 665 and preceding 667.
Oh, well, good for you.
That's it.
But it's the total of adding up every number from 1 to 36.
Yes, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4.
Up plus 36 and you get 666. Now, whoever,
and of course, 666 is a palindrome. It's the same backwards as forwards.
Exactly, yeah.
But they're natural numbers added. So ones that have had work done or, you know, some maybe blemishes touched up and things, they don't count anymore.
No, they don't count.
Only natural numbers.
But they called it the devil's number because of Aleister Crowley. He used it as his number. He was supposed to be a witch or a devil or something or other back in the early days, and he was a bit of a nasty pasty, and he chose the number 666 as his number.
No, so of course, it also appears in what I'll call the Western religion in Christianity.
Oh, yeah, it's in all religions. This number, for some reason, has taken on a superstition of its own.
Superstition?
Yeah.
Now, that's a weird thing to consider a number like 666 being superstitious.
Yeah, well,
so, I'm sure there are powers that are attributed to that number.
Well, yeah, I would say there'd be the same amount of power to 666 as there is to number one, quite frankly.
Oh, I don't know. A black cat under a ladder told me once 666.
Yeah. Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I don't know
what it meant because I don't speak cat.
And I don't know how many times number 13 has come up on a Ouija board or Tats Lotto.
Number 13 is only because there were 13 people at the dinner with the Last Supper or something, isn't it?
That's another superstition.
Well, there were 13 people at the table.
But number 14 is the unlucky one. He didn't get fed.
Yeah, because there were the 12 disciples and Jesus, you see. So there's 13 people at the table. And that's why 13 has become a superstitious number.
And if you notice, the restaurant had no service staff or chef.
No, but the
which
food
is why
was
it was the Last Supper. They closed up after that. Pretty hopeless joint, as it turns out.
Oh, golly. It's dreadful the way religion has sort of set us up for all these events.
Yeah, because it's had such a huge impact on people's lives over the centuries for the nearly, 2015 that we've had.
Indeed, and we're living with some of them even to this day, the superstition numbers. A lot of people have that as their religion. And what is religion? It's sort of an explanation for the unexplainable or for those that haven't...
Well, it's us silly little human animals have the ability to ask why.
Yes, that's
right. And why are we here? Where did we come from? Pigeons don't bother with that stuff.
Neither do cats and
dogs. You don't see little pigeon churches around.
No. We've had a message that says, yes, that's right, that makes my lunch more enjoyable listening to your delightful banter with a big kiss. I think it must be from Nina.
Thank you, Nina.
Yeah. Or whoever. We don't. We'll accept kisses and hugs anytime.
Although you've got to be careful of girl germs.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I've got a spot of herpes on my top lip.
I don't worry about girl germs at all. I like giving women hugs. One person particularly around here who I love giving a hug to is Betty.
Oh, yes.
Betty's
our
beautiful.
Betty.
A good hugger.
I didn't think Betty was particularly round. Quite the opposite.
Thank you indeed. I think let's make
we,
time.
We need a rescue here.
All right, then.
Some music,
we'll play a bit of music, Deep in My Soul from DJ Nitty and Sarah C. And when we come back, we'll be talking about a couple of people in the transgender community who are rather iconic. You're on Joy 94.9.
This Joy program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you can relive some of the dreadful moments of our little show.
The gems.
But before we go any further, we have to apologise to Florence.
Do we?
Yes, it was Florence that sent that message in. We thought it was from Nina. Thank you very much for listening, Florence. Sorry about that, but we didn't get your name on the end of the first message. Never mind.
That's the trouble when you've got two audience members. It's so hard to keep track.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
So we have a podcast of all our previous shows, well, the previous 30 or so. And lovely Julia at the front desk is our podcaster. Yes, so we'd like to thank her.
Podcaster supreme.
Indeed. She takes the total show from the logger and chops out the adverts and the music and things like this.
And just leaves us rabbiting on.
She does indeed. And I do a little bit of a explanation for the words of what we've actually been talking about. And then it's there. If you go to
joy.org.au/podcast.
If you go to the program grid and then click on the show name.
That comes up with the podcast.
It comes up with all the podcasts there. Oh, so right. There we are.
And for those not paying attention, we're on it Monday at noon.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Is that what today is?
I hope so.
Oh, God.
Otherwise, I'll see you later.
Yeah. Oh, something's
playing
happening.
Our song.
Now, I'm sorry if that tune has woken up some dead grey cells in your brain, but...
Star Trekking. Starboard bow. Yes.
I hate it when you get Klingons on the starboard bow.
We're playing that for a very special reason.
Because Friday the 19th of August, way back in 1921, Gene Roddenberry, the creator of the Star Trek phenomenon, was born.
It's his birthday. That's exactly right, yeah. Yeah, oh, God, turn that off. I'm going to be singing it for the rest of the day.
Oh, you go. Well, there's sort of a little bit of his back history.
What about his front?
Oh, all right, then. When he's...
Because they couldn't find reverse.
Oh, yes.
They could only go forward.
That's right.
After moving to LA when Roddenberry was rather young, his father became a police officer, and Roddenberry initially studied criminal justice, but then joined the civilian pilot training program. That would have been in 1940-ish, I would say, in the run-up to World War II, and he became a pilot, and he flew bombing missions in the South Pacific. But two crashes led him to give up flying.
One would do it for me.
One would do it for me. Yeah, don't think I'd want to try it a second time round.
But after the war, he followed in his father's footsteps as a police officer, and he found more satisfaction and monetary reward in writing scripts for TV police dramas. Now we know who to blame for all those. Okay, then. But as a fan of science fiction, Roddenberry set his sights towards writing a sci-fi TV script. Mm. And Star Trek debuted in 1966, and although it only ran for 3 years and was never a top-rating show, it became a cult classic. I wonder why.
They could only get it on air, spruiking it as a science fiction western, because Bonanza was the popular show at the time.
Oh, right, that's what they said, it was a scientific western.
Well, they were exploring the Wild space. West in space.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would take Americans to work that one out, wouldn't it?
Well, they need things explained.
Yeah, they need them explained very succinctly and cheaply.
Yeah. But the beauty was that although it was sort of initially only a three-year series and probably only once a week, there's lots of little catchphrases.
Oh, yeah.
It's not life as we know it.
That's right, and it's dead, Jim.
Yeah.
Or it's life, Jim, but not as we know it.
Mm. Well, of course, the famous little thing, there's Klingons. I was never a fan of Star Trek, but all these little expressions and phrases are in my grey matter somewhere in the background.
I don't remember many of them at all because I never really got around to watching Star Trek that much. I did enjoy it when I did see it.
Yeah.
It was never one of those shows that sort of really grabbed me.
Yes, it was ahead of its time, but it evolved in future series.
Mm.
When it first started in 1966, it was on a five-year mission.
Hmm.
To venture where no man has gone before.
Oh, see, there's another right. expression. Yeah.
But later on, when Star Trek The Next Generation came out, they were on a continuous mission
uh-huh.
where no one had gone before.
And are they...
So
did they put
the sexist man part.
Oh, right. And was that the graphic for the intro of the Star Trek of the letters going finishing into infinity in
no,
the distance?
No, that's Star Wars.
That was
a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, I'm sorry I asked the question.
So, yes, they've both got star in the name, but different stories.
Okay, then.
We just had another message in. This one comes from Tom from Reservoir, and he says, thanks to the podcast team also. I'm back from 5 weeks overseas, so it's good to catch up on the show again. Isn't that lovely?
Thank you.
Got to be careful not to overdose on us, though.
Oh, look.
Because 5 weeks in a row, you might end up a bit sick.
But yes, it's wonderful how these expressions go into the common lexicon.
To the vernacular.
Vernacular.
I like
right.
that word. Yes. Sounds like a vein.
I was going to say, you've got them in your legs, don't you? Have your
that's
vernacular
right.
veins.
And what else has been happening there? Well, I suppose it sparked our imagination, didn't
funny
it?
Part, we were going to mention what happened when he died.
Oh, yes, please do. Please remind him.
They sent him off into space. They sent his ashes up into space.
Posthumously.
Posthumously.
Which is good, because you don't want to get turned into ashes while you're still alive.
Posthumously.
It was a small capsule of his ashes were sent into orbit for 6 years, after which they burned up in re-entry in the Earth's atmosphere.
Hmm. That's a wonderful way to go. But there was the other fellow that was in... another one of those.
Scotty.
He's still going out into space, isn't he?
He was given a one-way ticket to...
Wherever.
Somewhere else.
Yes. Oh,
he's still on the road.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be fun if somebody opens that spaceship and finds these box of ashes. They're going to wonder, what the hell this is?
Those humans weren't very creative.
No, look at this. It's salt and it's pepper all mixed up together.
Yeah.
But apparently an asteroid is called 4659 Roddenberry in honour of him. And a crater on Mars has been named... Also after him as well. So
his name will live on in astronomy.
It will, but you know, it's very sad.
Oh, but they're still going.
They're still going.
It's like an adventure into space, out into deep space, isn't it? It's still going.
Oh, I think we better have some Anthony Clear. He's talking about rain here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Lovely to have your company with us today.
And we've just had another message too from somebody. A historic day in Parliament today with Mr. Ench introducing the private members' bill. What do we think about
For marriage equality.
For marriage equality.
Yes.
I very thing about the way that they're going about this, saying we should have a referendum and a plebiscite. Mr. Howard changed the wording of the Marriage Act by just, which used to just sort of say between two people.
Yeah.
And he just decided that he had to put in man and a woman, so he just, an act of parliament, and did it.
Yeah.
So why do we have to have a plebiscite? Why can't the politicians do what the people want, like 69% of them? According to the paper this morning, 88% of the young people under 25 want same-sex marriage.
And yeah.
Even the 55-year-olds, there's 34% of them want it as well, according to the poll in the paper this morning. Yeah. So,
provided it's not compulsory, I'll support it.
Yeah, no, well, it's a stalling mechanism.
Well, it's all, it is a stalling, that's all it is, because we don't have a very good government at the moment, I'm sorry.
No.
On any matter.
Well, they don't have a forward agenda, but there's a whole lot of stuff they don't like. So we really have two oppositions. Nice to have a government.
I'm not sure when Mr. Ench is going to introduce his bill, but...
today.
Obviously this afternoon, probably 2 o'clock after question time.
Yeah.
And then we'll find out how it all happens there.
Probably won't be given a chance to speak.
Exactly. That's right.
Because we don't have free speech in Australia.
Why?
We don't. Well, if you're a young Muslim male, try getting some free speech. The government will shut you down.
Oh.
Now, the concept, which America fully understands, and we really have a lot of learning to do, is that under free speech, provided you're not threatening or saying, you know, fire in a theatre or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
You have a right to your say. Even if people don't like what you're saying, you have a right to say it.
Yeah.
Even if that's on Q&A or on SBS.
As long as you don't denigrate anybody or cast aspersions to their character. You know,
but this guy they're talking about, this young Muslim man, I won't name him because I forget his name, and that's important to forget names, but he's got his distorted view and we should know what it is because we gave him that view.
True.
So let him speak up and then we'll start fixing the problem.
Yep. Anyhow, going to talk about something that's...
We were going to be talking about gender, transgender. We seem to be at a point of public acceptance where transgenderism is quite palatable to a lot of people. Yeah. And I don't think we generally... Well, we don't have a problem here at Joy because we've got a wonderful mix of people that bring everything to the microphone and to our general lives.
Yeah, I was reading a very interesting article in the latest Out magazine of training that they're doing in America in the NYPD.
Yeah.
And they have all these people come in and they had a... This beautiful woman walked in high-heeled shoes and what have you and started... Carrying on. It turned out she was a transgendered policeman.
Yeah.
One of the few that's in the NYPD, and none of the new trainees could pick that she was a transgendered person.
Yeah.
And then that brought up the whole thing of transgenderism in the training depot.
Well, of course, the Australian Army has had to get real.
Well, we've got that, what's her name? The one that she's been on television.
McGregor.
Yeah, she's great. She's a great example of what she's done. You know, good luck to her,
too. There's two words in that title. And one means more than the other. This transgender person. Don't forget the person bit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because they're still a person, no matter what trauma they've had to go through.
Yeah.
And a mighty hard decision they've made.
Yeah, well,
born on the 19th of August 1934, was a person who originally went by the name of Richard Raskind, and then 40 years later, after a career of being an ophthalmologist, author, and professional tennis player, Richard underwent sex reassignment surgery and came out the other side of the trauma after, you know, living as a man for 40 years, became Dr. Renee Richards.
I just had a message again this morning that says that Vanity Fair cover is out now in my supermarket with Caitlyn Jenner on the cover.
Of course, and of course we've had the example of Chaz Bono, sort of, I'm going to call them popular icons from one sphere crossing into another. I think that makes the acceptability a little bit easier for the ordinary person in the street.
It makes it harder to deny when they've got a name that you already know.
Exactly.
In the case, well, Bono and Jenner are two pretty well-known brands in America.
Not to mention Kardashian. Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't going to mention.
I'm not saying that word. Because right. I was told not to swear on radio.
But, of course, Renée Richards, she was an ophthalmologist and a tennis player.
Yeah.
And she had a hell of a trouble getting to be able to play women's tennis in the American women's tennis
circuit.
Yeah,
they didn't have any problem with her being an ophthalmologist.
No, but because she was transgendered, and they said, no, she couldn't play with the women. But eventually she won the argument and was able to play. She didn't play for very long, but I don't think she won terribly many matches against the higher-seeded women.
No.
But she still practices as an ophthalmologist and as a tennis coach.
Yeah.
She's now 80, by the way. She's still alive. She's still going well.
That's totally incredible. 40 years as a man and then 40 years
as a female.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
What good next?
Yep.
And, of course, someone else who's recently, as it were, changed gender, although I'm not sure where they are on the scale of transitioning, but we're talking about Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, well, she now, I guess,
Chelsea
because she's chosen to be Chelsea. She's asking the federal government in America to pay for her transgendering while she's in jail.
And why is she in the jail? Because she's serving a 35-year military prison sentence for leaking official documents.
Yeah, she gave them to Wikipedia, to Julian Assange. Yeah.
Well, not particularly to Julian.
Well, to the WikiLeaks.
Yeah, to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And apparently, recently, though, she's been undergoing some rather strong harassment in the military prison. Would you believe that she had some things in her cell that were allowed to be hammered by anybody, and they said, oh, no, this is against it. There was Vanity Fair, talking about Vanity Fair. She had the Caitlyn Jenner issue of that, a copy of Cosmopolitan, then included in an interview on herself, Manning, a copy of the LGBT magazine Out, and things like this, and that was prohibited property. Hello?
I think they were just trying to give him some, mental torture.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
but here is the worst little one. Would you believe that there was a tube of toothpaste in his cell, but because it was actually out of date, beyond the use-by date, it was suddenly, apparently, medicine misuse.
How could you use out-of-date toothpaste for medicine? I mean,
maybe you could use it as a weapon.
Oh, yeah, that's right, squirt it on somebody,
oh,
right?
Oh, hello.
And they won't get fluoridated.
But if it was still within the date, it can't be a weapon, hello. So it seems like she's actually being penalised for her
transgendering.
And obviously the prison crew are really threatened by this, or else they're under orders to...
Well, military jail is not a very nice place to be.
No. Talk about the military. Message through again. Kath McGregor is a delightful person and a very smart woman. Saw her talk in Melbourne recently.
Indeed. Thanks very much for reminding us
she
of her
she was on. Name. I saw her on Q&A and she was absolutely bloody brilliant.
Spot on.
Absolutely.
It's sad in some ways that it's only those people that have actually got an identity before transitioning or a good record that they're allowed to actually carry that over, because there's been so much discrimination before and after transitioning for a lot of trans people.
Yeah, one thing you don't hear about in Australia, of course, Chris, is the fact that in America there are so many transgendered people are murdered. You know, it's just terrible when you read about it.
Not only America. I mean, you imagine what is happening in the Arab states.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying we don't have it as much here in Australia.
We don't hear about it,
but whether it happens or not, I don't know. But I'm sure if there was a murder of a transgendered person here in Melbourne, you'd certainly read about it in the paper.
We need a war on ignorance. Yeah, this war on drugs, which Mr. Abbott is trying to reignite.
Couldn't we start at the top then?
Well, it's probably too late.
Re-education.
Because he was referring to some gay people that he knew in college.
Yes.
Which I hate to think what century that was. But he was saying that they wouldn't want to go for the bourgeois concept of marriage. Well, if he's still stuck back in his college days, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
No, well, of course, we are living in the year 1959.
One of us is. And he's not in this room.
No. Okay.
Thanks, Phil. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, Let's see. Who's having a birthday coming up? Oh, I think Missy Higgins is.
Missy Higgins is having a birthday coming up, yes.
And we've got a little song from her. She's talking about, or singing about, you can control where you go, you can steer yourself. And
quite appropriate to what we've been talking
well,
about.
Well, for her and for a lot of other people, there is can be a journey of self-discovery and liberation. You're on Joy.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
And we've had another little message. We've been talking about transgenderism, and this one says, the recent Four Corners episode on transgendered children was excellent. It certainly was. As well, times are indeed changing. They certainly are. And the more they change, the better.
Well, medical technology has been leaping across all the strands of the medical side of things, because now they can actually put puberty on hold that, in fact, boys don't develop breasts if that was the way they were going to go, or they can actually promote the transitioning with boosting with hormone boosts.
We should point out the technology is new. The problem is not.
Oh, no.
This is not news at all.
Well, what they've got...
These are just people who are born essentially into the wrong body.
Bodies, that's right. And now they've got the dysphoria clinic in the Royal Children's Hospital. Mm. And that is wonderful. That's where most of that program was shot that was on the Four Quarters. It was absolutely brilliant. And I thought, and good on the kids for standing up for their rights, you know, and saying that I'm not in this body, I shouldn't be in this body. And their parents were just as wonderful as well that let them and took them, and they went right through the whole process.
But see, they've had the ignorance removed so that it's not scary.
Can we have a bypass to get rid of ignorance, do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know, but Canberra Hospital is probably booked full, so.
Well, back in the mid-70s when I moved from Adelaide to Melbourne, I was in a group of friends attached to a church, and one of the attendees there was a professor who we called our gynecologist, but he in fact was a surgeon in those days doing gender
reassignments. Mm.
Yes, so it's for me, it's been on my radar for many, many a year. And it's just another part of life as far as I'm concerned. It's part of the rich tapestry
of life, of course it is. Yeah, but there's a whole lot of things happening this week that were concerned Australia's history too. A lot of it, actually. It's amazing when you look at it in the context.
Well, on the 22nd of August 1770, Captain James Cook, in inverted commas, takes possession of the eastern coast of New Holland. Close inverted commas.
Yeah, because they knew they only knew of New Holland being on the western side of the continent.
Because the Dutchers had found
that. The Dutch people had found that for many years, and Captain Cook did that and took possession thing of it. And then it was another...
I mean, it's just totally naughty these days. It's not PC to say that he had the right to actually take possession.
Yeah, well, he didn't have to have a fight over it. Most of the, like Europe, they took possession of countries by fighting and defeating them. But here in Australia, all he had to do was walk up the coast, plant a flag and say, I'm taking possession of this for the King George or King William or whatever his name was.
But the reason it was in inverted commas is because he took possession of it, but he had to leave it where it was. He couldn't actually take it with him.
That's exactly right. It was still something there.
On paper, he called it his, but it really belongs to the original owners.
And then it was another 18 years later... 26 years later, I beg your pardon, when they decided that they would start sending convicts to Australia to start a settlement out here.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pommy Land.
Yeah, so we finished up with a whole lot of criminals that came out of here.
Well, I mean, the jails were overcrowded, and they actually were doing a couple of smart things. They had old warship hulks
in the rivers,
and they started to do mass occupancy of that, and it was a very healthy environment, of course.
Yeah.
But as you said, for piddling little crimes.
Mm. Most of the people who committed crimes were hungry because the Industrial Revolution had come along, and they lost their jobs for where they were able to get things because machines were doing it all.
But imagine now if you could do that. You go into a supermarket in London, steal a loaf of bread, wave at the CCTV cameras, and get a free trip to Sydney.
Oh, yes.
That'd be pretty good.
But but they also used to hang them, and they finished up that the English people were getting a bit sick and tired of all the hangings that were going on for the so-called criminals, so they decided that would be better off to send them somewhere and get them out of sight. So,
oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's good. If you can't see it, there isn't a problem.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, so history repeating itself?
So we should put that to a referendum after the next election.
Oh, that'll be
then
good.
Then we won't see it till then.
No. Hello?
And so that
there's a cynic in the room. I don't know who that is.
And the first ship that came out, there were quite a fleet of them. There were 775 convicts on board, 6 transport ships, accompanied by officials, crew members and their families. And that totaled another 645. So over 1,400 people arrived on the first ships.
And they went from having nothing to eat in London to having nothing to eat in Sydney.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And thank you, Flo, for being listening today. Flo's got to go off to work, and she's reminding us that in Sydney recently there was an attack on a transgendered woman.
Oh, was there? Well, that's not good. That is just absolutely shocking. You would have thought that by now the people would have had some brains, wouldn't you, sort of think that this person has a right to do what she wants to do.
Well, once again, as with homophobia, it's this transphobia, and I don't know how it is that anybody can feel threatened by someone who's going through the process.
Inability to comprehend the change creates fear for some reason.
And then, of course, years and years and years later in Sydney in 1930, on August the 19th, they joined the Sydney Harbour Arch. The arch was joined...
The
bridge. They'd come from the both sides of the harbour and they joined exactly in the middle.
Which is a really good idea, because if they didn't do that, it would be way more wobbly.
And they would have probably had two bridges.
Well, we nearly had that with the Westgate one April Fool's many years ago, before the bridge was finished. There was a news story that came out and said they miscalculated meeting in the middle, so they're just going to keep building and we'll have two bridges. Now, if in fact they did that, we'd be a lot better off now.
We would be.
Until a crane falls, but that's another story.
It's still the biggest single-span bridge in the world, the highest single-span bridge in the world, but it's not the longest. There is a longer one that's been built now.
Oh, there's some beautiful bridges in Europe when they cross the chasms that have been burnt out by the glacial action.
The bridge that I want to go across is the one that joins Denmark and Norway, I think it is.
Yeah.
That is huge. That is so long. It's kilometres long across the water.
I'd want to get off.
No. Well, of course, there's two things about that. It is a double deck, and I've been across that on the train.
Oh, right, yeah.
But that is also the setting for the Danish crime TV series of The Bridge.
The Bridge, yes, that's very good. But that's, I can remember the only time I went from Denmark to Norway was on a train, that they just drove the train onto the boat and took it across.
Denmark to Sweden.
Denmark to Sweden. Yeah.
As a past resident of Northern California, building things double-decker isn't always clever.
Not
in earthquake zones.
Not in earthquake zones, no. And then, of course, we had in Adelaide, we better not forget Adelaide, we had James Light arrived in South Australia.
Colonel Light.
Yeah.
He's still there pointing at the city.
Yep, that's right, and to survey the city, yes. And they didn't want him to have it in Adelaide. They wanted to be somewhere else.
Could you have Adelaide?
Well, there was they wanted it closer to down a little bit further south or something, apparently.
Closer to the water's edge.
Yeah.
Because it's actually inland about 10, 15 kilometres.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
Glenelg is where they actually wanted to set up.
And Colonel Light said, no, forget it, we're going up
and
here.
Why
and that's
was
where
Colonel
be.
Light so good? Doing a site.
Well, you know because you're from Adelaide.
Exactly, because he set out the grid. I mean, and the grid is far nicer in lots of ways than the Hoddle grid here in Melbourne. Because in the middle of the grid, the 1 mile by 1 mile, is Victoria Square. Mm-hmm. And then inside the next four squares, the quadrants left over are smaller squares.
Yeah, the layout of Adelaide is beautiful. It's it's such a beautifully laid out city, and it's so easy to get around in. Melbourne is a much better city to get around in than, say, Sydney.
Yeah.
But Adelaide, just the way Colonel Light did it, it's just absolutely brilliant.
Do they have a bridge?
No, they've got a little one going across the Torrens Creek. Mm. Yes.
It is a creek, too.
Sydney has the harbour, and we've got the Westgate. And to give Sydney its due, the Sydney Harbour Bridge is the biggest harbour bridge in Sydney.
Well, that's right, yes.
So they've got to have the...
What about the Gladesville Bridge?
What about the Spit?
Oh, the Spit Bridge.
I drove over that once. I had to wash the windscreen.
It's just about time for us to get out of here, Chris.
Oh, how can you tell?
I'm looking at the clock.
Oh, I thought the joke's been nice.
We've got time for a little bit of taxidermy.
Okay.
Get something.
So you want us to get stuffed?
I wasn't going to say that.
No, we've got a minute and a half to talk about taxidermy as being a modern art form, even though in these days you can have three-dimensional pictures created through projections.
Oh, yeah, 3D printing and stuff.
It was interesting on the news last night that the man that's in charge of all the taxidermy at the museum has retired after 30 years of stuffing things.
Yeah.
And well, he showed you how he did it, too.
Yes.
How did they fire him?
Oh, yeah. No, but I never realised they actually, it's only the skin.
That's it.
The outside is the only bit that they actually retain. They don't even retain the bones.
No.
So all the innards are gone, and then they have to create a shape over to which they put the skin. Mm. And glass eyes rather than the real eyes.
That's right.
And it's beautiful to be actually see, say, eagles with their wings outstretched and you can see all the feathers. It's far better that way.
Could I just mention one thing today, too?
Please.
It was the anniversary of the founding of the Red Cross movement.
Oh, yes,
which has been such a great movement to have. And if you want to hear a little chat that I had with Nicole about the Red Cross, it is on a podcast. Go to joy.org.au. And we were talking about what their latest fundraiser is called, a bake-off. They're having a big bake-off.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you go to bakeoff.com.au. No, I can't remember. I haven't got it with me at the moment, but it's on the podcast. So if you want to know how to help raise money and have a fun time having baking, do so. We've just had another message come through.
Oh, fair enough then. Well, look, we might be coming to the end of our show, but please stay tuned because...
Wow. The convict past explains our current EM.
Oh, no.
That hasn't got a name on it, that one.
Somebody didn't put their name to it. Oh, dear. Never mind.
Oh, we could find out who it is.
Well, he may not be a convict, but he's certainly living in the past.
Well, the other thing is, of course, that he's an Englishman.
Yes, he is.
Not an Australian.
Yeah. And he's more Catholic than the Pope. The Pope said, go easy on the gays.
Yeah.
And he said, go easy on climate change.
I told you, it's 1959. You're on Joy.
And we're going to have to say goodbye.
Cheerio. Stay tuned for Justine. She's a little bit late, but the music won't be waiting for her.
No.
Where are we playing?
Right.
So see you next week then. Thank
bye
you.
Bye now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.